Let's get to it. We've gathered to worship the Lord and to hear from Him through His Word. And towards that end, let's turn now. Turn to the book of Judges. We're going through the Old Testament book of Judges. We are in chapter 16 this morning. Turn to Judges 16. The ushers want to make sure you have a Bible. Just raise your hand if you need a Bible. They'll be glad to pass it over to you. If you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours, of course. Judges 16. As you're kind of getting your Bibles out and finding your place, let me just make mention. There is someone who is oftentimes, in today's culture, it seems like the focus of practical jokes. And you watch most sitcoms, and he seems to be the one that takes the brunt of so many things. But make no mistake about it, Dad, you matter. Fathers, yeah, the culture sometimes to make a target out of us and showing the kids, getting things over on Dad and all, but in God's eyes, you matter. Men, you are the spiritual leaders of your home. You're called to be that example and all, and you are making a difference. And so, keep it up. Keep it up. Dads, know that it doesn't matter. The kids don't always run up and say, gee, thanks for things, but God knows. And I just wanted to hopefully add to the well done you sense from Him, a well done. Again, happy Father's Day. You matter, dads. Yes. Now, it is true, on Mother's Day, we give out carnations. Men, there's not a wrench waiting for you at the door. And the guys are like, oh man, I came to church to get my wrench. But there is a well done from God. Happy Father's Day to you. Judges 16. What would you do if you visited someone at their home and you found a very costly, extravagant diamond necklace being used to jam open a door? Or you arrived at their house, they had a Lamborghini sitting out in the front yard, but they used it as a flower pot? I hope you look at it and you go, wait a minute. That's a waste. That was designed for so much more. You're using it for so much less. As we turn to chapter 16 here in Judges, we find a man named Samson. He's in much the same state. See, Samson had an awesome beginning. His very birth had been foretold, announced by the Lord. And Samson was to be set apart unto God from birth. And God intended awesome things for Samson. But what started out as a life full of opportunity turned into a life that was basically wasted. Samson's life is a life of squandered potential and resources. Samson gets to the place where we read the following about him. You're in chapter 16, look at verse 18. When Delilah saw that he, that's Samson, had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Sad, sad story. And particularly sad is the last part of verse 20 here. Verse 20 to very last. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. What happened? How did he get to that place? That's what we're going to look at this morning. It's an encouragement but a challenge for all of us. I've called our time together this morning, Save Soul, Wasted Life. Let's pray. Father, because you love us, You sent your Son. That we might receive and live, have eternal life, have forgiveness, not to go on the shelf, but to experience your plan. To discover and walk in the purposes you'd have for us. Why you've made us, what this life is to be about. Lord, as we look at Samson, help us to shake off the familiarity of it. And Lord, would you help us to hear it as how it might apply to us. The warning and the encouragement, the challenge built into it all. So many temptations out there, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to be duped by them. So Lord, use this time now to equip and strengthen us. And may it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we join the children of Israel here in chapter 16, we find them once again in that sad condition that they've been in over and over again in Judges. Allow me to put up on the overhead here for just a moment. If you go back to you don't have to turn back there, but if you were to go back to chapter 13, you'll find the beginning of this latest cycle they're in, where it says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There are times in the book of Judges that you're almost certain that somehow the repeat button got stuck on, because they go through the same cycle over and over and over. I think they're like in a seventh cycle by the time we get to this portion. The period of Judges is a period of about 300 to 400 years. And it's a period in which the children of Israel are tracking right along. But because they're getting blessed, they get complacent. They begin to wander off, begin to compromise. Because of that, find themselves getting cut off from what God would have. They get into trouble. They struggle. They all these kinds of things. They cry out, finally, God help us. He comes along, sends a judge, a deliverer, delivers them. Thank you, God. Then over again it begins. Get complacent. They slide right back down to rebellion and unfaithfulness every single time. And that's where we find them once again. It's at this point now that the Lord announces his plan to bring forth another judge, a deliverer. And that's our introduction to Samson. We don't have time really to go through all these chapters, but an overview of Samson's life would show us this. Samson was indeed a man set apart unto God from his birth. He was a man who was given great potential. But as we arrive at the end of his life now, we see him in a very sad condition. And so the question becomes, why? How? How did it happen? How did someone with such potential get into such a circumstance? It's important at this point to note that the way the Philistines are going to get victory over Samson will not be by a direct assault upon him, but rather it's going to be through the use of temptation and compromise. We all face no shortage of temptations. That's not a newsflash, I know that. I hear anybody go, oh, really? We're bombarded with them through the culture, through the media, through so many things. And in their day, so it is today. And that is, that's where their downfall came along. And that's often that's the danger for us, of course. But we're going to find that they're going to use this temptation means to trip him up, to thwart God's plan in Samson's life. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16 now. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. Not the first time he'd gotten into something he shouldn't have gotten into. But what I want to point out is what we see first of all in Samson was indeed a man of compromise. More than once, if you read his story, you'll read that he often was in a place he shouldn't have been, being with people he should have been with, doing things he shouldn't do. More than once, he wandered down to the enemy's cities. And he didn't just sightsee when he got there. He would enter into all these things that would wind up being his undoing. What we see is Samson flat out disobeys God. He was rebellious. He was self-willed. And what does he get for it? What does he find in these places? Does it pay off in any way? Does he really find real love? Are we about to say, hey, everybody, all you ladies, be like Delilah. What a great lady. No. Does he find meaningful friendships in the enemy's camp? No. Did he find real purpose of life? No. But that's what the world would want to suggest you'll find. That's what the temptation wants to say. That's what the enemy of our soul says. Oh, you need this experience. You need to be with that person. You need to go here, do that. But it's always a lie. And that's what Samson found out. Indeed, he finds out it's just the opposite of what the lie said. And in turning to those places and those people and those activities, he, and this is the main point, he comes short of the things that God had for him. For when we do those things, it's just like putting a cork right in the pipeline between us and God. We put it in by our choices, and then we get cut off. And that's what happened to him. Now let's read through the story. Again, we know the story of Samson and Delilah so well. If you grew up in the church, you heard it in Sunday school. It's often referred to in literature and TV, or they have different depictions of it or modern takes on it and all. So don't get turned off by the familiarity, but let's let God show us what he might want to show us through it today. Verse 4. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. This is where the heavy music comes in the movie, you know. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So here we meet Delilah and the leaders of the Philistines. They can't get victory over Samson by just brute force or something, and so they enlist her aid in trying to deceive him and they might conquer Samson. And she, of course, goes for the agreement. Here's her first attempt, verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. You would think the warnings, you know, the alarm would go off here at some point for Samson. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. So here Delilah begins her attempts to find out the source of his strength, to trick him, to deceive him. So she tells the Philistines this. They come up and try it, but he breaks the bowstring. No problem. Her next attempt, verse 10. Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. What a healthy relationship they have, by the way. Therefore, Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. So now the second attempt, time with new ropes. She does it, doesn't work. He breaks them with ease. The third attempt, verse 13. Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. He said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom. So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he woke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. So third attempt, weave my hair into the loom. Doesn't work. He jumps up, breaks free, doesn't stop him. Pastor Dale, that's kind of interesting, but I've heard it about 1 billion times. Well, how come you read through all this? I mean, could have summarized it. Well, I read through it to drive something home. You see, why would I take the time to read all this? Because We look at it and we think, you know, how stupid can he be? Let's see. She asked me what might do me under. I wake up and she's done it. May not be out for my best interest. And I wake up and there's all these men in the room with her. That might be a hint. But he doesn't get it, does he? Why did I read all this? Because this is so much how it is for us today. What I mean is this. You begin to compromise. You begin to get into things. And it's so obvious to everybody around us but us. And people can look at us and they go, what are you doing? Why would you go there? What are you watching that for? Why would you participate in that? Why are you hanging out with them? Others can see it. We see it in him. But when it's us, the point being is, we don't get it. You see, it's not an issue of him being stupid. He's not being stupid. He's been blinded. This is how the flesh and sin and compromise and temptation can blind us to the trap that's inside them. So it's a perfect example of what often happens to us. The progression, if you will, of compromise. How strong and yet how blind our flesh can be. We don't get it. But here's the warning, clearly. Well, verse 15. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You mock me. You know, you just see the alligator tears. The drama's really come on. And you say you love me, but you won't tell me how to destroy you. What kind of love is that? That's what she's doing. You mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is. Strength lies. Now watch. It came to pass when she pestered him daily on and on and on. Just get off my back. That's what's going on. You know, pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. That he told her all his heart, said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Let me make sure and summarize. It's not that the strength in his hair, it's the length of his hair represented the vow, the commitment, the plan, the relationship he had with God. That was his strength, that he was set apart to God. His hair represents that. And as the cutting off of his hair is going to show, it's going to represent, it's kind of a picture of what he's got himself into. He doesn't have that relationship anymore. He had drifted this far. He was in total rebellion and disobedience. So that's what it's talking about here. But he says, if you shave my head, I lose my strength. And so thus we read our focus verses. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in her hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees. Let me pause for a moment. That is such a perfect description of how compromise works. The progression of compromise. Lulled him to sleep. It starts out where we fall, we give in, and we go, oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh, man. And we pray a little bit, or Lord, I don't know what I did. But the point being is, lightning didn't hit us. Yeah, maybe it's not so bad. And it becomes a little easier. And a little easier. And pretty soon, we're spiritually asleep. We've been lulled to sleep. And that's the progression of temptation and compromise and sin. It lulls us to sleep. And we're not even aware. How did I get here? What happened? Because of that step-by-step basis. And so it's a perfect description of really what's going on. Well, she lulls him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before as at other times and shake myself. I can handle it. I can do this. I've always bounced back. I've always got back in sync. God's always been there to rescue me. I can do this thing." He said, "I'll do it like before." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Gone too far. Slid too far. He plugged up the pipeline and it wasn't there. That all that he had before, he found wasn't there. Remember, it represents the relationship now that's been broken. Does the story of Samson, because it's so familiar to us, does it seem like ancient history to you? We read it, oh yeah, it's kind of an interesting story. I've seen that a lot of times. It's kind of interesting. But we can keep it at a distance, so to speak. We can think of it being something to do with the past. Danger. The sad thing about all this is it's a story as current as today. What do I mean? What I mean is this. How many Christians today are in danger of right now becoming just like Samson? Compromising little by little, lulled to sleep, distant, but not really realizing it yet. Just kind of being satisfied for where you're at. Saved, and yet wasting all God has for them. Settling for plan B, if you will. The story of Samson shows us it's possible for a person to get to that place where they lose not their salvation, but they lose their strength, their spiritual strength. They lose that closeness that God would have us to have with Him. We lose the wisdom that God wants to impart to us and not even be aware of it. Because it's been so slow, you're so used to it, you're just kind of there. You're not even realizing now the distance and all that's occurred. We can compromise ourselves into a place of distance, and we're not aware until the Philistines are upon us. Until the trial all of a sudden comes. And our boat is rocked. And we want to jump up and have the same spiritual strength as before. And I want to get the victory and I'm going to ride this thing through. But we find it's not like it used to be. We've put all this distance. We're not spiritually strong anymore. And that's what's happened here. We jump up and we have no means to stand victorious because we've compromised so much. Now look at verse 21. Then the Philistines took him, and there's no nice way to put this, they gouge out his eyes. They put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters. He became a grinder in the prison. From potential to prison. From all this promise, called of God, going to be used of God in so many awesome ways. So now he stands there blinded and bound and pushing the mill. That's what it means, grinding. He's doing the work of an oxen, just pushing the millstone around, grinding out grain all day long. How far from God's plan? Does life seem like a grind to you? I wonder if it's time to wake up. His eyes are put out, it says. His physical blindness follows on the heels of his spiritual blindness. He's bound with brass fetters. Brass in the Bible is always a symbol of God's judgment. Basically, Samson is suffering the consequences of his choices. He bought into the lies in those temptations. He thought there was something nice there, but there's always a hook inside the worm. Just always is. And it's not a pretty sight. So now he's grinding in the prison. He has the job of pushing the millstone around and around and around and around and around. Blinded. Think about it. From God's separated one, purposed to bring victory, to bound and blind and grinding in the prison. How far has your life gone down? What do you find yourself stuck in? Think about it. So much like too many today. The effects of alcohol and drugs and all the things that can take their toll and rip us off. The results of pride and unforgiveness and rebellion. Gifts not being used. What a waste. You think it's sad to see a Lamborghini with a potted plant in it. How does the Lord feel about a life that's coming so short of what God would have? See, Samson is a picture of what sin and compromise can do to a person. God's so mean, He won't let me do those things. No, He loves you so much, and He knows what that's going to do. Your soul, your spirit, your life was never designed for that stuff. It's a ripoff and a lie. So we see Samson, he's brought so very low. Again, spiritually blinded to the truth. And it can happen to anyone. Life just becomes a grind. As a person just grinds away day by day through life. And it's been so long, almost not even realizing what they're missing out on in terms of the vertical with God. Settling for so much less than God's best. All these gifts not being used. Suffering under the consequences of sin. A saved soul, but a life that's being wasted. Now, don't misunderstand. God won't leave you, believer. He says He'll never leave or forsake you. And we're not talking about losing your salvation. But we can get to that place where we put ourselves outside of His will, outside of His strength, outside of His provision, His wisdom. And we cannot even know it, at least for a period of time. But then along comes that Philistine. And that, of course, that represents a temptation. A potential to compromise, a trial. And we do. We get up thinking, I can deal with this one. But we've slid too far. We're too ensnared. We find ourselves defenseless. I want us to listen for a minute to that old fisherman, Peter. I want to have you turn there. We'll just put it up in the overhead here. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Have you received Jesus as Savior? If you have, He's writing to you. With us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, last verse, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I understand it was a long verse, a long portion of Scripture, but so important. And I would ask you this, it's rhetorical, not to be answered out loud, but do you believe those verses? If you're a believer, I hope you do. There's so much in there that's pointing to. But if we do understand, where He says that if you're in Jesus, He has given you all the things that pertain to life, that there are these exceedingly great and precious promises that you can partake of His very nature. See, if we believe that, then why would we look somewhere else for those things? We need to learn those are lies. Life, purpose of living. All we really need are only found in the Lord. They're only in Jesus. That's by design. Think of all there is in Jesus. And I'm not talking just about the natural gifts that God gives us. Thank God for those. And it's a shame to see those wasted, of course. But even more, the point this morning is, like Samson, we are a called people. And He has awesome purposes for us, a design. And in this calling, we have at our disposal Him and all He would have for us. How sad to see it wasted. As a called one, God has a plan for you. And nothing is better than discovering and walking in God's plan for us. How do you do that? It comes from having a life that's yielded to Him. A life that's lived in sync with those purposes. A life that's living in plan A. And there's nothing better than that. But know this, Satan will always have a Delilah. What do I mean? Someone or something that's designed to pull us down. There will always be those out there. And what is the Delilah to you may not be to me, or vice versa. So it's not just a blanket statement, but it's that thing that indeed can ensnare us, get us believing somehow the answer's in it, start building our lives on that sand instead of the Lord, just whatever it might be. Let the Lord speak to you if there's a Delilah in your life. If there's something that maybe even right now you don't really see it, but may He in His love and mercy show it to us if it's there, that there's something that has gone too far. It's got too big a place in your life. It can be a hobby. It can be all kinds of things that it in itself may not be a problem for the other person, but in your life it's gotten to be too much. It's taken up now all your time, your passion, your money. And you live for it, and really, truth be told, that's what you think about when you get up in the morning and all throughout the day. I can't wait until this, or boy, I can't wait till that. And it's gotten in God's place in your life. See, it can take all, it's a somebody or something, but its real goal is it's designed by the enemy to pull you down. It goes from that temptation to compromise to disaster. See, Samson had played with temptation and sin for so long that he became blind to its dangers. And that's a rough place to be. And I wonder if anyone here today would have to acknowledge, yeah, I think maybe I've gotten to that place. This thing has gotten too big in my life. And maybe it's something blatant. Yeah, you can always point to the obvious things, relationships that aren't of God, or again, the alcohol, drugs, all those kind of things. That's obvious. But sometimes it's just something that got in there for us. It's a compromise that's turned into a separation. If that's you, notice this. The story of Samson doesn't end. Look what happens next. We haven't read these. Look at verse 22 now. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now, what's the big deal about that verse? He's grinding on the stone on the mill, probably just going around and around day after day. And remember, his hair represented his relationship to God. It began to grow. I don't know what prayers took place. I don't know what he said to himself. Maybe something like we find ourselves sometimes. I can't believe I did that. What am I going to learn? But it evolved. The Lord moved in him. And I don't know what repentance or brokenness took place. But the hair, the relationship begins to grow again. So verse 23. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. Samson's fallen low, but God's not going to let that one slide. He's working in Samson, but they're going, our God did this. And God says, well, no, we're going to fix that one right now. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison and he performed for them. Think of it. Called by God to a plan for his life to be used in an awesome way, to a falling, to blind and grinding, and now performing before the enemy. I don't know what the performance is, a demonstration of, well, probably not a demonstration of strength. I don't know what the performance is, but he's on show before them how far he's fallen. But remember, his hair had begun to grow. Relationship is returning here. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray, Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might. The temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. As sad as verse 21 was when he said he didn't realize the Lord had departed from him, note this, God had not abandoned Samson. You can go from plan B back to plan A. But why pay this kind of price? Let us learn from his lesson is the point. Again, it was never about just the hair. The hair represented a relationship with the Lord. We often think of the failure of Samson, and rightfully so, that's our lesson. But we should never forget how God showed Samson grace at the end of his life. When he cried out to the Lord, God heard and responded. There was grace after the fall when Samson repented and cried out to God. If you are in plan B today, realize it, that there's been a backsliding, a compromising, a giving in. And if we'll repent and cry out, we can get back into plan A. So that's awesome. But don't go that route. Why go? If you're not there, don't go there. If you've been there, get in plan A and don't go back. Yes, Samson was used by God this one last time. But now in his case, that thing is a result of his death. See, it didn't need to end like that. Point is, he fell far short of all he could have been. So the message is, don't get in Samson's place. Don't settle for plan B. Don't wait till you pulled your house down around you to wake up. Turn back now if you're outside of that plan. Turn back now if you've gotten into compromise, if you're coasting, if you think it's okay, but yet you know you're distant. The pipeline's plugged up with God. Run from that Delilah, whoever, whatever it might be, is the call. That thing that the enemy is using to trip you up, let it go. Don't buy into it any longer. Samson is the story of a saved soul, but a wasted life. So I challenge you today. It's a challenge for all of us. Don't settle for less than God's best. Don't live short of all he has for you. The call, pick up your cross, follow Jesus. That's plan A, and it's the best plan you'll ever discover. I'm going to invite our worship team up to wrap us up. As they come up, let me just set before you a couple of opportunities here. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you got to start there. Only in him do you discover, first of all, forgiveness of sin and eternal life, but also only in him do you find the purpose for this life today. I know you want to have a meaningful life. It's in him. Go to the prayer room as we wrap it up. Talk to other prayer partners and make that prayer. Say that prayer today. Believer, don't coast. Don't settle. Be careful of compromise. Don't play with temptations. Saved soul but wasted life. Let's not have that written over any of our lives. But let's all just discover and walk in that plan A, that plan he has for us. Truly, it is the best plan ever. During this time, if it's meaningful to you for any reason and for any purpose, we're going to worship for a little bit. If you'd like to come down front and pray, it's available to you. No one's going to bug you between you and God, but for sometimes we'd like, there's that importance of having a kind of a place to go or a demonstration of, Lord, I'm getting back to you, or whatever it might be. Just want to come up and thank him, whatever it is. Come down to the altar during this time if it's meaningful. But for all of us, let's take some time now and worship him and thank him. Father, to that end, we do indeed want to spend this time. You are worthy to be praised. We choose to take some time and do that. Lord, if there's anyone who has been playing with temptation, compromise has crept in, maybe in that place like just at a distance and don't even realize it right now, Lord, would you in your love speak and encourage and wake up? anybody that needs to. Lord, we're just saying, if anybody needs to come back, so be it. For all of us, we want to give thanks to you because in you we have found life and purpose and all. So let this be a response time, a time to praise you, whatever it means, Lord. For each person, have your way, we ask. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.